A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Inside Sources.
Welcome back, everyone. Final segment of Inside Sources on a Monday. Great to be with you today. I am Boyd Matheson. And, you know, sometimes you end up in conversations that are unexpected, conversations that are super enlightening with people who are absolutely extraordinary. And I had that opportunity last week after the show on Thursday. And you can always tell the quality of the conversation and the quality of the thinking of the people in the conversation by what kind of questions they ask. And I got asked a question just in this casual conversation on a Thursday that just kept me thinking all weekend long. And I want to get you thinking about this just a little bit as well. The question was, who has their fingerprints on your life? Who has their fingerprints on your life? And the question, of course, was really about who's influenced you, who's been important to you, who are people that have inspired you or instructed you or challenged you or tested you or helped you become your best or see your best. And I just love that idea of we all have people who have put some fingerprints on our lives. And I want you to share, we're going to do this tomorrow as well, but just use our Utah Community Credit Union KSL text line, 57500, and just give me a quick hit. Give me somebody who's left some fingerprints on your lives, what you learned from them or what those fingerprints are, what they mean to you, what difference they've made in your life. For years and years, I have been a big fan of people who are in the fingerprint business. You know, we live in this look at me kind of world. It's all about drawing attention to self. And it's kind of gone way past this, you know, childish, self-absorbed, you know, kind of thing to these self-promoters. And it's almost a requirement in a lot of fields. We were talking about it earlier with Christian Sager when we talked about just this lack of contrition, this mega ego thing that we seem to be fostering in our politics and business and in so many other places and spaces in our lives. And to me, I have always felt that the best way to get ahead is to leave your fingerprints behind. And I love people who are in the fingerprint business. These are extraordinary souls. They reflect light rather than grab it. They elevate the performance of others rather than tout their own. These are the kind of servant leaders who promote the success of the team while deflecting praise for their own leadership. So no individual is more influential, in my view, or leaves a more lasting legacy than those who are in the fingerprint business, the fingerprinters, let's call them. And so as I look back through all weekend long, I kept going through because as much as I focused on the fingerprint business, no one's ever asked me that question that I got asked on Thursday. Whose fingerprints are on your life? And so I've been thinking about that all weekend and went back. A good friend of mine, Reverend Teresa Deer, who's been on this show a number of times, she wrote a great book called Inadequate, Unprepared, But Ready. Isn't that a great title? Inadequate, Unprepared, But Ready. That's worth a deep dive if you need a good read this week. She wrote about the master fingerprinters. She talked about these people who continue to serve not for compensation, but because of the cause, because they served others, and that they did it for so long without recognition that they've demonstrated the capacity to just serve, to just give, to just make a difference and to move on. And that's so important. So for years in a number of different organizations, I would regularly give out an award. We called it the Fingerprint Award. And we would give it out to members of the team who had done something behind the scenes that created influence. something that added value to a customer, to a client, to a constituent, something that made a difference for someone else or made a difference for the community in some way. And sometimes it would be a line or a phrase that suddenly everyone was using to frame an issue without attribution. Again, just fingerprints. Sometimes it was a team member who had elevated a colleague in front of a constituent or a customer. Sometimes it was creating a unique experience for a VIP or even better for someone that never would have gotten the red carpet treatment. And so these people, these fingerprinters, are just awesome, extraordinary souls. Someone on our text line just chimed in, said that my seventh grade creative coding teacher left his fingerprint on me and really helped me with coding. Thanks for sending that in. And everybody chime in. This is a chance for you to give a little shout out to somebody who's left some fingerprints on your life, your career, your personal pursuit of excellence. There's so many out there that that are so amazing in doing that. Of course, I spent a lot of time working with people who were behind the scenes writing speeches, writing messaging. And I love those people because they never had to have their name on the issue or on the op-ed or on the speech. They were often creating something they knew someone else would deliver and get credit for. And I love those people. Because they would often weave in, and you could always tell. My favorite thing was to be able to spot and say, oh, I know who that is. I know who wrote that line. And you can call out those fingerprinters every once in a while. But for the most part, the fingerprinters in our lives are those who are just very subtle, very quiet, but just go around making a difference. And often it is a teacher. Often it is a boss, a coworker, a good friend, a neighbor, someone who's just willing to reach out in a time of need or in a time of no need. Sometimes it's just reaching out is the issue. And so this is a question that everybody can think about and just consider the fingerprinters. I think President Reagan may have framed the fingerprinter's creed. He had a plaque that said on his desk in the Oval Office, that said, there is no limit to what a man can do or where he can go if he doesn't mind who gets the credit. And we would all be very wise to watch for those fingerprints in our businesses, in our personal lives, in our families, and especially in our community. You know, it's one thing about the state of Utah. You can go into any community in the state of Utah and you can find fingerprints. Fingerprints from people who care about the community, who care about the state, who care about the people, who care about those that are struggling, who care about those that are succeeding. And to me, that's an exciting thing to be a part of. And so we all have that. One more texture real quick. We'll sneak in. My 12th grade computer teacher, before I took that class, I was going to be an accountant. As a result of the class, I've spent 41 years writing computer code. That's great. That's a fingerprint that has lasted a lifetime, to be sure. So the one thing that we need to know and remember for sure is that our fingerprints never fade from the lives and hearts we actually touch. I'm Boyd Matheson, opinion editor of the Deseret News. Thanks for joining us on KSL News Radio's Inside Sources today. Be a fingerprinter. And as you go out into the world, make sure you see something that inspires, say something that uplifts, and do something today that'll make a difference.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.